This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One briefcase, one moment could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, One Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
All right, John Harbaugh or nothing?
I think we're aligned on this.
John Harbaugh or no head coach. They just have a open position at all times, and then they go out and they play the games. What would you do to get John Harbaugh? And also, we've had a couple of people on the contrary to John Harbaugh. I haven't shouted them down, anything like that. Now, I would love to bring in John Harbaugh. I want the fans to be happy. I don't know how any of this would go. I think that just because you get John Harbaugh doesn't replace all this on your offense that you need to replace. It might be better. You might win 7 games next year because you know what? Your special teams are going to be a hell of a lot better than what they were. So you should be able to win a couple of more games next year. But what you're going to do, what you're going to do if you went out and you got John Harbaugh, you're going to get instant credibility back from your own fan base. You will have, for the first time, when they went to the playoffs in 2023, was there hope with the Browns fans, or were they just kind of feeling like, hey, we got out of Browns prison here. We're going to enjoy our little time and parole from Browns prison before we have to go right back to Browns prison.
Well, wait a second.
I think it was more like that.
Hold on, there was hope there.
Because I don't think that there was hope for the future.
No, there was hope there because you guys kept talking about the half the second that Deshaun half. Played in Baltimore.
Yes.
That was what everyone did, including the two of you.
Did they mean it? Did we mean it?
I think I kind of...
Yes, you meant it. Wait, I saw it in your eyes.
You're talking to me.
Yeah.
I'm an
you don't
idiot
mean anything.
And a crazy person.
You lie to everyone.
He
every
is the one. No, I'm
the truth. He made a chart about
that's
it.
That's the difference. I'm an excitable person, so I might believe it at the time, and then I look back on it and go, my God, you're a monumental idiot. Like when I finally said that I thought the Browns were going to win 8 games this year, which I was only 3 off. Anyway.
Yeah, so yeah. You meant it. There was hope there.
I might have meant it. Did he mean it? Anthony.
I don't think he means anything ever.
There you go.
Well, so, with our defense, even though they had a no-show in the first half of that game against Houston, I think there was
well,
like...
Well, then they threw 2 pick sixes, right?
Yep. Yes.
So, it was over.
Yes, then it was over.
I was just happy to be there. This would be the first time in a long time that your fans are with you. I think a lot of folks... in the back of their mind. And yeah, I was hoping for the sake. You're right about that on 100%. I was so hopeful that maybe he could get this thing going after the second half of the Ravens game that it might be better. You are 100% correct about that because I knew that this is not very good and he's going to be the only hope out of it. We're too far along in his contract now. He might even start the season this coming year, but I still don't know how good they're going to be this coming year. And I don't think the Browns know it either. I don't think they're going to be much better than what they are this coming year. And what John Harbaugh does is at least brings some understanding with your fans back. Because I think the fans are down on the franchise. I think the fans are down. I think they love the defense. I think they respect Myles Garrett like crazy. I know we've done the respect and beloved thing before. I think they respect him like crazy. I think they have a lot of respect. But I don't know where I find the hope yet. And I don't think I find any hope with the fan base. And if you don't have hope as a fan base, then we're just going to spin our wheels. And they made the move with Kevin Stefanski. They kept Andrew Berry. And it seems like the fans are angrier about that. If you brought in John Harbaugh, even if it took letting go of Andrew Berry, I think that they can maybe work together on things. But if you were to bring in John Harbaugh, yeah, there's a lot of Browns fans out there who listen to us. There's going to be a couple who go, I'm going to warn you guys right now, this ain't going to go the way you guys think. Okay, fine. And maybe by October and November, people are upset. Probably will be, because there's still not that much talent on the offensive side, and they can only do so much this coming year. But damn, you will have people going, you know what? My owner's willing to do whatever it takes to win. And he just proved it right there.
John, I think it would go a long way. It would.
Because there's nobody who woke up this morning, even the most ardent Browns fans, who woke up this morning thinking that John Harbaugh, this would be his first job that he would want. Not a chance. If he went out and he got him, it goes, this guy's willing to do whatever it takes to win. They're willing to do whatever it takes to win. They want to get this thing right. They want to get this thing going. Let's get going. That's what John Harbaugh means to the fan base. Even if it did end up blowing up on him. 216-474-0092. Ryan in Euclid, hello.
Hey, how you doing? Love the show, guys.
Thank you, Ryan. Go ahead.
Listen, if I had to get out my truck, go in the house, make a baby, and give the baby to the Harbaugh family so that he would come here and coach here, I swear to you I would. But to think that a
respectable man... You can't just make a baby. You got to have somebody to make a baby with. You can't just walk in there and make a baby.
Been married for 19 years, Ken. Beautiful. And he's a Brown fan, too. We can get this figured out.
Beautiful.
So, but listen, I think human sacrifice is enough to get a Harbaugh to come here and be thought partners with Andrew Berry. I just don't. I don't think a respectable name in the NFL is coming to be a part, to
Why?
Be lucky number 13.
Why?
So his track record, unless he spent the first 6 years doing it wrong, and I agree with Lyman, his last draft was his best draft, hands down.
Oh, it's probably what saved his job.
Easily, but I have a hard time thinking that now he has what it takes to get this done. I don't. We need an offensive lineman and a couple of receivers. Do you have trust in this regime to do what we need to do in this draft?
Well, God, I should at least be able to get what. I'm not yelling at you, Ryan. I'm not mad at you, buddy. I'm telling you right now.
It's Brian, by the way.
Oh, sorry. It says Ryan on the thing. Brian, you should at least be able to get one of them. You got the number 7 overall pick. Can I just shoot at least one offensive lineman in a barrel? Please, before we have to do all this stuff.
Please.
I don't know.
I'm with the team. I don't think we're as far away as other people
really
think we are.
Really?
I don't think we're as far away. Seriously, I do. I think if we can get some first-round talent at receiver and some first-round talent at offensive line, uh-huh, and then they hit a couple of picks later on in the draft, I think if we could bring this back. Now, listen, Harbaugh's option A. Schwartz is option B. If those two don't work out, we're going to get another wiry first-time head coach.
Wiry?
Yeah, you are. Who was option A and B again? Can I write it down, Brian?
Harbaugh.
Okay.
Option A.
Schwartz.
Okay. Morton Schwartz is option B.
Thank you very much, Brian. I appreciate the call, and congratulations on the 19 years, and enjoy the sex. I think he's right in so many ways. And what worries me is that I just said it to you. I think that the last draft saved Andrew Berry's job. Okay, so is he on a hot seat going into next year?
Yeah.
So what can he do to save his job long term? This is what the problem is, and we keep going in circles with this with everybody. I mean, everybody's got to be looking at this going, are we nuts?
Well, it's not going to draft out of the park again.
Because
that's
the success rate is...
And by the way, Shador or Dylan... If either of them play, or I guess I should throw it in there and say Deshaun Watson.
Uh-huh.
But if any of those guys, regardless of who the coach is, I mean, Andrew Berry just bought himself another 5 years if those two things happen.
If what?
If he knocks a draft out of the park again 2 straight years and they have the draft capital to do it. And
but what can these guys
do? They get even average quarterback play. Like, obviously, this year was bottom of the barrel from all three starters. If they get even average quarterback play out of Shador, Dylan, and of course, Deshaun, if any of that happens, he just bought himself at least 3 years.
Say, you're right about that. Say Shador, then say Deshaun, then say Dylan. That's how that, yeah, that's how that goes.
Yeah.
Okay, you're right about that. But my issue is that, again, they're rookies. You had great rookie play this year. What could it really get you? You know, the Jets didn't draft bad over the last couple of years. They really didn't. They made terrible moves at quarterback, and that's what cost guys jobs. They wouldn't have been able to get first-round picks for Sauce Gardner and things like that had they not drafted well. They had good players. I hate comparing us to the Jets, but here we are because we're really in the same boat in so many ways. They had bad quarterback play. So I got to get something out of my quarterback play. So that's why that position's open. But how much is Andrew really going to do if his job's on the line? How much is he going to be able to really do? And so if you get a John Harbaugh, you're not firing John Harbaugh after just 1 year. Unless it's Pete Carroll-esque terrible football, and I can't see it going that way. Not with the defense that you have. So you'll probably, even at your bottom, win four games, five games. You're not going to fire John Harbaugh. But then I wouldn't want to turn right around and fire the general manager, because now I'm starting to put together long-term plans with a guy who's going to be 65. So I buy credibility, but I also know that there's a lot of things that have to move, and if I put together things and decide that I want to go with John Harbaugh or John Harbaugh wants to come with us, I have to recommit myself to Andrew Berry. Because the usual thing, maybe you hit on a quarter, 25% of your draft picks, and that's considered a good draft, and he's going to be able to knock it out of the park like he did last year. Even if he gets two good first round picks and a good second round pick, that'd be great. You're still going to be upset about some of the other picks because they still need so much. 216-474-0092. Jordan in California. You've been all forever. Jordan, you're listening on the Free Odyssey. Have your next up on the Fan.
Hey, Ken. I just want to say that you're welcome to the cookout. Okay, let's start there.
Well, thank you.
You're most welcome. Mm-hmm. Lima, your name speaks for itself. But anyway... words matter. So saying bring Harbaugh in, can we talk about the arrogance and the entitled opinion of Cleveland media assuming, like the last caller alluded to, any reputable coach even considering coaching that?
As far as what you mean?
Anthony is always pro critiques of Shadur. In particular, even though it's flip flopped every now and then, but that town is, as of at least 2025, from my understanding, is primarily black at 46.7%. The major towns in this
Cleveland proper, you're talking about,
Yes, sir. Yes, absolutely. But when it comes to what the white media and some white folks there don't understand is that the majority of black people in this country have watched the behavior of Stefanski and some of the callers and listened to some of the callers and watched the treatment of one Shadur in particular, okay, and don't like it and have never liked it. Now, you guys may not be discriminatory or prejudiced in any way, but you have to
In some way. What was the thing that
stood out? The difference. Prejudice is a thought. Discrimination is an action. So you can be prejudiced. Who cares? Okay. But just viewing that is a problem. Who wants to go? What white coach wants to come in to that mess? Even in New York, Stefanski is talking to people. But he can talk to whomever he wants to talk to. But those black players, everywhere he may go, will make his life as miserable as he made Shadur.
Well, George, can I ask you a question? Yeah. What stood out to you the most? Why do you think, because you're not alone, obviously, in thinking this, and this came up, and this is dialogue that we had this year. What stood out the most to you about the behavior of Kevin Stefanski that sounded the alarms that you felt like it was something other than just a football decision on Shadur?
Okay, thank you for asking that question, Anthony, and it's a very valid one. There's a saying that's called the soul of black folk, okay? It's something that, now I could care less about Shadur as a football player, college player, whatever he was.
Mm-hmm.
And Dylan, I think they're both mid, to be quite honest with you.
Oh, you think both quarterbacks aren't good?
No, they're okay. Don't get me wrong. No, they're okay.
I'm just asking.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't dislike either one. But I don't have this big old Shadur thing, but I'm stressed, and I'll answer Anthony's question in just a second. I'm not, picking on either one. Let's put it that way. Okay. Neither one of them stands out except for marketing and charisma on Shadur's part. I come from a marketing background. Marketing has everything to do with everything. Okay. So let's just start with that. Dylan is not marketable. He's not likable. He's horrible on television. He has to go. Okay. Even if he played a little bit better, you're still not digestible.
Shador clearly sells a lot of jerseys, and there's a lot of people who enjoy it.
Yeah. Absent that, and this is the 21st century. We're no longer in the old way of doing things. We're in the NIL phase. We're in the young people of color sort of taking over the financial realm of college and the NFL with their power. Now, they don't always have the intelligence to match, but they have the power to say, I'm leaving this college to go to this one, and I don't care what you have to say about it. That never happened before. But to get back to Anthony's question, for me, it was the dismissal and just blank stare every time Shador's name was mentioned. He would not mention that man's name. You can't even say, you know what, Dylan is my priority right now. Shador is a fifth round pick. He's just not, Shador is not my priority. And neither has any fifth round person for any coach. So why are you asking this man questions about a fifth rounder over and over again? But he wouldn't even entertain a response about Shador.
Jordan, this is, listen, we are up against it. Because you gave me a thought about something on Kevin's future that I never once considered. I want to address that on the other side. Thank you very much for holding, and thank you very much for the call. 216-474-0092. I didn't even realize that about Kevin's future. Can I share that with you after the break?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I appreciate the call.
That's something that he's going to have to address himself. I know that we're moving on. We're moving to other coaches. Because I don't consider it. I mean, I don't think that it has to be a prerequisite that they have to work with Shador. But I still insist, because of the situation they're in their quarterback room, whoever they interview for the head coaching job has to be willing to say, I can get him from this position to as good as I think he can be. And then it's up to the Browns to believe how good he thinks he can be, whether or not that's just a passable starting quarterback or a Super Bowl champion. If they just want to believe that he's a Super Bowl champion, then this is going to go in a bad place, a real bad place, real quick. 216-474-0092. I got a hit on that about his future when we come back. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lyman, live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
One briefcase, one moment could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
How would you sell? I'm going to tell you why they absolutely have to talk to John Harbaugh, and he could absolutely say, hey, listen, I'll talk to you, but there's no way I'm taking your job. I'd still have to talk to John Harbaugh, and I'll tell you why here in just a moment. I want to know what you think it would take to get John Harbaugh. Mary Kay had reported last night, she updated it, said that the Browns are doing their due diligence. That's one of our favorite words during the offseason about all these guys, due diligence, whether it be coaches or quarterbacks or whatever. Definitely doing their due diligence on ex-Ravens head coach John Harbaugh. He could interview for their head coaching vacancy next week once he starts meeting with suitors. That's according to Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. What do you think it would take to get John Harbaugh? Do we have what it takes to get John Harbaugh?
I mean, obviously the first thing that you're thinking about is money. The issue is there's so many teams involved that you figure that whoever really wants him is going to be willing to pay whatever the going rate is
money
for him. Does it reset the entire coaching market? Is he going to be able to be the highest paid coach in the NFL.
Like, if you're in it against the Dolphins, and I could go, hey, look at the defense, look at Myles Garrett, Miami got nothing like that. We both have quarterbacks that are expensive that we don't want to play, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But if it comes down to money, Steve Ross has money. Like, they both, they're all billionaires. Steve Ross has a lot
of
money.
I mean, you're not dealing with Cincinnati here. There's a reason Cincinnati doesn't want to go wade into this pool is because they don't want to have to pay. So then I think, obviously, you're giving him carte blanche on staff, which means you're going to have to make him one of the highest paid staffs in the NFL, if not the highest. So that's even more money. Again, you know, who knows what kind of a consideration that is. And then the question is power. Like, yeah, we're assuming he would want his own GM. And then what does that mean for Andrew Berry? But I don't know. Maybe in talking to Sashi Brown over the years, maybe he really likes Andrew Berry. It's really hard to know. But in the end, does he want final say? You know, I don't know. At his age, does he want to handle all of that? Or does he want a bigger seat at the table? You know, that's hard to know at this point.
Like, well, where did it exactly go wrong for John Harbaugh altogether? Just not making the playoffs this year? Lamar Jackson, because you can...
I think Lamar
is easier to find
tough,
a head coach than it is quarterback, especially now because there's so few good ones.
Lamar, two-time MVP, and then last year, you know, might have had his best year overall. And yet you watch him in the playoffs, and there's no debating it anymore. There's no disputing it. And I know that there have been drops and
oh, it's a boogeyman.
But he's a different quarterback, and to a much lesser extent. Like Josh Allen, I've seen him be Josh Allen in the playoffs. I mean, what was it? How many seconds? 13 seconds away from beating Patrick Mahomes, where he went toe-to-toe with him?
Yeah.
Like, I've seen Josh Allen play just as good as he does in the regular season in the playoffs. I've never seen it with Lamar. And I think it's a really tough tough to really have a handle on how to operate with him when he's slowing down. He's not the same freak athlete that he was, and that's going to cause issues for his passing game, because a big part of why guys are wide open when he's making those insane plays is he's drawing all that attention, and it starts to be out of the framework of an offense, and then he just dazzles because he's Lamar Jackson. As that starts to erode, can he just be a pocket passer? And I know there are stats that say he's very accurate in the pocket, but he's not Mahomes.
You're making it out to be a Lamar Jackson stubbornness issue and not an issue with John Harbaugh. Like, that's clearly good on Harbaugh, bad on Lamar Jackson. Now, I keep going back to, guys, we have barely any great quarterbacks anymore. Lamar can be a really great quarterback. Now, obviously, everybody knows I love Lamar Jackson, but, like,
he's been
you're
going to
make the choice of the quarterback over the head coach.
Yeah, he's been top three. You're right. Like, I did put up a tweet the night that he lost the job. I'm like, yeah, I get why they picked the quarterback, which is really hard to replace, almost impossible, than the coach. My thing is, this is Lamar at the top of his value. I think it's only going to dip. And what are we thinking Lamar Jackson is 2 years from now or 3 years from now? So might be the time to get out of the Lamar Jackson business, even if it means sacrificing, you know, becoming a worse team. Because think of the haul you could get for him.
There's a big NFL name that would rather have Kevin Stefanski than John Harbaugh. I'll tell you guys who that's going to be. It's 8:45 this morning. 8:45. There's a big name that said if he's given the choice, he's going to take Kevin over John Harbaugh. The Browns need to talk to John Harbaugh. And I'm not going to ask you why. I'm going to tell you why, and I think you're going to agree with me. It's not just the Browns. If you're Jimmy Haslam, you have to have a one-on-one conversation with John Harbaugh at some point and pick his brain and ask a guy in your division, now that there's, hey, no more Raven stuff, no more any of this, I want to talk to you. Tell me what you think of the team. Tell me what you think of Andrew Berry. Tell me what you really think of this organization. Because, you know, John Harbaugh in press conferences and things like that, he's always going to say, you know, that defense is one of the best in the league, if not the best in the league. It's the toughest defense we face all year. He's always going to say something that's going to give you respect. There's always that. I want to know what you really think. Because I think that you're making a decision now, if you're Jimmy, and this is why I'm so alarmed about this, is he only could talk about this last draft. And when your owner's only talking about your last draft, you're setting off alarms in my head going, okay, so now you're telling me he's on a 12 month probationary period. If we can only mention the last draft in the last free agency period, then you're telling me you got 12 months. And this team has needs that exceed 12 months. Your rookies played really well. Great rookies. You won five games because you don't have experience. Like Mason Graham, I'll defend Mason Graham till the cows come home. I thought he did a tremendous job. He will have better gap discipline in year three. He should. He will be able to know the tricks of the hands of real good offensive linemen in years two, three, and four. He's starting to scratch the surface. That's what defensive linemen do. That's why Malik Collins was such a big loss, because you had pups there, and Shelby Harris can only do so much on the rotation. You have that. But if I go into this next draft class, say Andrew Berry hits it out of the park again, great, 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 we'll argue for it again. If you win six or seven games, they're going to be at the doorstep again for everybody. So you're telling me right now that the alarms are going off in my head, and that if you can only give me the last draft class, I'm getting nervous about next year. Next year.
Yeah, now, so, by the way, if you win six or seven games, you almost got no shot to get the best quarterback in the draft.
Exactly. So I want to know from John, why didn't you guys want Shador? You guys wanted to make a call for Shador, then you didn't want Shador. You wanted him to come and be a backup there. What did you not like about Shador? What did you like about him?
Oh, you didn't think that was Shador telling them no?
What did you? Because
that was the report, I thought.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. What didn't you like about Shador? If you liked him enough to make him a developmental quarterback for you. And it's not just about Shador, guys. This is one example, for crying out loud. I know some of you are going to roll your eyes. What made you want to bring him in? What made you want to bring him in? We've been dealing with all this with the fan base and everything else, with Shador's fans, with Browns fans, with them battling each other. What is it that made you want to bring him in? What is it that you think he really needs to improve on? What makes him tick? And then you go, what do you like about Andrew? What haven't you liked about Andrew? What are the things that you hear? What do we miss? What do we do? Are we doing something wrong? And if you believe we're doing something wrong, what is it? Whether you're going to take this job or not. John, I'll give you anything you want. You want me to fire Andrew? I'll fire Andrew. You want me to do it? You can say whatever you want. But if you're not going to take the job, if that's flat out what it is, you're a great coach. You've been doing it a long time. You have one of the better last names in the game. Let's have a talk one-on-one. No Andrew, no anybody else. I want to know from John Harbaugh what he thinks of my franchise and where my franchise needs to improve. And if I disagree, it's his franchise. He could just flat out disagree with him, but I still want to hear from him.
We're on the same page.
And if John Harbaugh...
I don't think anybody disagrees.
Now, say it ends up going the Watson way, where you're the first one out of the running. Well, then I guess you're going to have to turn around and offer John Harbaugh $230 million guaranteed. But say you're one of the first teams that are out of it. Is anybody going to be surprised? Anybody going to be surprised? You still have this albatross of a quarterback hanging around your neck that you can't cut. You have to play him, to the point where now we might be a little bit more open-minded about him. You have a team that still needs to add first-round talent to your football team. You still have so much of this that you have to do. Say you're one of the first teams out. It's understandable. I would love to sell John Harbaugh the virtues of coming back home to Cleveland, Ohio. His mom's from here, everything. I'd love to be able to sell. But if it's just not going to work because he's a businessman and he needs to know what's going to help him, then fine. Just tell me what it is. Just tell me what you think. And I got to pick the brain of one of the better football minds out there. He's number one on just about everybody's list.
Yeah, that's why everybody wants to talk to him. Man, I don't think we're unique in that regard.
So I don't think that's such a problem. And that's why, you know, yesterday, and I can't sit there and say I disagreed with Mary Kay at the time. I just wish I would have put more thought into it, going, no, if you're embarrassed, quote unquote, because you're one of the first teams out, still need to have that conversation.
Yeah, like I said, the hardest part of this is it's not up to us. It's going to be up to his agent and him, and they've got every team, you know, lining up to get a chance to talk to him and pick his brain, because he's been one of the stalwarts. He's been one of the guys that has, you know, been the one that many have looked up to around the league for so long, but it's not up to us. Like, we can't make him, you know, seriously consider us.
Are you, as a Browns fan, going to take some sort of small victory or solace if they end up talking to him?
No. I'll take a victory and solace if they hire him.
It will get our hopes up, without a doubt.
It will. You're right. What's the matter, Owen?
It sounds to me that you're like, well, if we can just even get our team to talk to him, we're going to...
No, I'm not talking moral victory just to talk to John Harbaugh. That's not it. But if they spend the day together, I'm going to hope that there was a constructive conversation between the two about what they think of my franchise. Because, like, when we heard that Josh McDaniels wanted to come in here and just blow everything out, there was a lot of me even at the time going, where you don't really, I don't know if I would just blow everything out for you. If John Harbaugh wanted to, yeah, maybe no, there's no maybe. I'd blow things out for John Harbaugh. But if John Harbaugh's like, listen, even if you blow things out, I just don't think it's the right fit. That's fine. Let's talk. I'm not going to do champion's pose over just getting to talk to John Harbaugh.
Okay, but the timing is where it gets interesting. Because
I promise
like today,
next week I won't do it.
This is the first week. There's no rush today. This is not a, you don't win an award for sprinting. The problem is if he's waiting to see if Buffalo opens up, if he's waiting to see if Philadelphia opens up, maybe Green Bay opens up. And if that's the case, that drags the process. And then some of the guys that you might be really high on might get plucked by those other teams who know they got no shot at Harbaugh. And then you start to get to a point where we're 4 weeks into this and you're like, oh God, we got to hire our fifth choice.
Does Daryl Ryder agree with us that maybe we shouldn't have got our hopes up based on yesterday when it comes to Jim Schwartz, Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, the dangerous one at 8:21 on The Fan?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One briefcase, one moment could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
You're going to play 92.3 The Fan, and now you can find The Fan on YouTube, including The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima, 6 to 10 a.m., Baskin and Phelps, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Afternoon Drive with Nick Wilson and myself, Jonathan Peterlin, 2 to 7 live each and every weekday on The Fan's YouTube channel. Subscribe to our channel for free to watch all the best content from your favorite shows on The Fan live and on demand now.
If I could go off the top of my head, just off of memory, I think Kevin Stefanski, as far as his fans in Baltimore, is probably the leader in the clubhouse. If not him, Kubiak. Those have been the top names. Also, Flores' name has come up a lot. Those three names have come up a lot, but I think Kevin Stefanski is probably the leader in the clubhouse in terms of what the fans want, largely because he's two-time coach of the year. They believe Cleveland is the source of his failure, not Stefanski himself.
Rob Long, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. So, they think John Harbaugh is a scrub in Baltimore and Kevin Stefanski's great. Not great.
Let's see how that plays out.
I really think they're more of a Matt Nagy town. Everyone think Matt Nagy in Baltimore.
But if you're Stefanski, if Baltimore's serious, the way that Rob is saying, it's not even a question.
Oh, yeah.
Not even a question. Yeah. Like, you go there with bells on. You enjoy the hell out of the idea that Baltimore and Lamar Jackson have interest. Now, Stefanski, I'm almost going to coach for some weird reason. Don't know what that was about.
Finally feel indebted to him now that he's gone.
After 6 years, I'm finally like, coach.
Ooh, the revisionist history begins.
Realize he's going to Baltimore? Were we really best friends the whole time?
That's true.
I went to the galas the way everyone else did.
Yep. You just didn't publicize it.
No need.
You don't need the credit.
We've put our friendship in a very low-key manner.
That's true.
We don't need to rub it into everybody else. That's just uncouth. Yeah. That's not good.
Who would do that?
Yeah.
Not me.
So Coach. If Coach goes to Baltimore, we know he doesn't do well with big personalities.
Yeah.
He's going to have an awful time. Like, do I need to wake Baltimore fans up and understand that what this is going to be is Lamar Jackson just doing what? Harbaugh couldn't control Lamar. You think Stefanski's going to be able to?
He's got
no chance.
I think the funny thing is that for Lamar, your options from a discipline level run from Stefanski. He just lets you be you.
He does not do anything to restrict anything that you would want to do.
Or Brian Flores, who will punch you in the mouth if you're 5 seconds early to a meeting.
He's a drill sergeant. So, like, you talk about the... I don't know if you're Lamar... You know the answer. Lamar doesn't want to be bossed around like that. He's 29 years old. He has been a two-time league MVP. He's at the spot in his career. I would assume he wants a bobblehead more than he wants somebody that's going to tell him he was 3 minutes late and that's not acceptable.
I still think it's going to be Jesse Minner. I still do, but Stefanski to Baltimore makes sense. Meanwhile, Rob Long, who was just on, we played the sound there at the beginning of the segment, he talked about why Harbaugh makes sense for Cleveland, in his opinion.
See, Harbaugh is an administrator. He's not really a guy that's going to influence the game when the game begins. He's the guy that's going to influence the game before the game begins. He's an administrator. He's a CEO. He's not a game day difference maker. So that's what Cleveland needs, I think. I think Cleveland needs an organizational guy, a guy that steers the ship and gets you back in order. That's what we needed here in Baltimore when he first got here. But now you're at a point where you need a little bit more, which is human nature. It's not, there's no disrespect to part ways with him. I think Steve Bisciotti, the owner, felt the pulse of his team and felt like you needed a jolt. You need some new blood in here to give a new message, because evidently this message now is stale.
So here's what I struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
Every archetype can fail. All right. No, but that's not specific to Harbaugh. But what I mean is, like, I don't think Cleveland needs a specific archetype. If you can lead and you can communicate, you can be an OC. You can be a former defensive backs coach. You can be a special teams coach. I don't give a rip. So, like, I'm pretty malleable on, do you want a offensive wizard like Mike McDaniel, or do you want, you know, X's and O demon on the defensive side of the ball like Robert Saleh?
Mm-hmm.
If you can find your way to, like, lead a team and get the most out of them. So I don't think Cleveland, specific to what he said, I don't think they need, like, a CEO type head coach, because I think that opens up a separate, like, for every good thing, you're going to open up maybe a separate issue.
No, but what is nice about having a CEO-type coach is where, so Stefanski wasn't that. Stefanski was supposed to be X's and O's, and he's supposed to be this great quarterback whisperer and everything like that. And then he never updated anything. He stayed with the same offense he had for the beginning, and it never got better, and he never really put much new into it. And so, like, you see how that doesn't travel, right? If you're one of the types like Harbaugh where you're a CEO-type coach, that travels. Because that's not anything that you're coming up with that is brand new. That's just being who you are.
Now, I think it's fascinating that Harbaugh, it's already kind of out there that it's unlikely he's going to interview this week, because it does play into the theory that I think a lot of people, I think you and I have both thought this, but that basically is like, well, let's get through the wild card round of the playoffs, and let's just make sure we know all the jobs that are out
there. It's smart. Like, if I was Harbaugh, this is exactly the right route that he should be going. Find out what happens with the Bills, find out what happens with the Packers, and then we can reconvene on Monday, and we can evaluate our situation from there. Meanwhile, someone like Stephen Ross might be left with the idea that he fired his head coach and he had no real chance.
Yeah, that'd be funny, though.
It would be. It's still worth the gamble if you're Stephen Ross.
No. Okay. If you're already gonna fire Mike McDaniel, which I don't think he was.
I mean, clearly he wasn't going to, because he didn't on Monday, right? Like, clearly this is everything that just shaped this. But was he gonna fire McDaniel a year from now or halfway through the season? It's on the table, 100% on the table.
Definitely on the table. It's interesting. I think you mentioned two jobs that obviously Harbaugh could be waiting for. I think the Eagles thing is another one that people have started talking about that's interesting.
Oh, I think I brought that one up a couple days ago, and that was just me thinking that this might end for Sirianni, and that being the type of job that Harbaugh would obviously love. It's got to be this weekend. It's got to be a real crash and burn for Sirianni. Winning a Super Bowl a year ago to then being out the door, but it's on the table. There's all sorts of names that are popping up right now, though. You know,
is there one we should hope for?
Well, so here's the thing, I will feel so much better if it's Green Bay, if it ends up being Buffalo, if it ends up being Philadelphia. I can live with losing out to those type of situations. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to lose out to those type of situations. I will be crestfallen if it ends up being Miami.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If it's one of these teams.
Honestly, the Giants, which everybody thinks. The Giants, it's not a good job, and it's not a good organization. They haven't been a good organization since Tom Coughlin left.
Like, you should be able to overcome that. You can be in the same category of them. Like, some you weren't able to close for some reason, and I don't really want to get into why you didn't close, but I'll be upset that you didn't. You lose out to Buffalo, that's fine. You're not expected to beat out Buffalo in this race. They have Josh Allen. But I can't stand losing to Miami that way. That would be very frustrating.
I think the three teams we've mentioned that he could be waiting for.
Yeah.
I think he should hope Buffalo opens up the most next. So the first, then Green Bay, and then Philly. If you're John Harbaugh, now you're older in your career, right? So the idea you could be fired in 5 years if you only win one Super Bowl is maybe not that. big of a deal. I think Philadelphia is in the back half of their window. I don't think Jalen's going to be able to be the same player once you start subtracting an A.J. Brown. And once you, the defense has already kind of taken a step back. Like, yeah. Saquon maybe takes a step back.
Well, like, then you're perceived as like less than Sirianni who got it done.
Yeah. Well, but
that's not great.
Like, here's the thing. This is like clockwork.
Howie Roseman's great, though.
You're there for 5 years. You win a Super Bowl, but you get fired. I don't know the next coach is guaranteed to win a Super Bowl.
Well, so here's why I think the Packers should be above the other two. And Josh Allen obviously skews the conversation because he's Josh Allen, but you still got to fix that defense. There's a lot of things you have to do there.
I think that's one good offseason away from being one of the better teams they've had, but okay.
It might be. And if I was an offensive guy, I would be signing up like crazy because it's so appealing and there's so many things to it. I think the one thing that the Packers have in this that I think too many people sleep on is you don't have an owner.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a valuable thing that you have as the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, but you have Carmen Policy's son that wants to run off Matt LaFleur because he's too good at his job.
Yeah, they still have like a board of directors and a thing that happens. But yeah. Like on a day-to-day basis, you don't have somebody breathing down your neck. You don't have anybody that, like one of the reasons why I feel like the Packers have had such stability for so many years consistently, not only with the head coaches, but also then with the quarterbacks, is because you just don't have that constant presence that's there.
You know, it's
funny.
It
just doesn't exist in Green Bay.
Because again, we're looking at, okay, if we can't get him, who can he dislodge that could come to Cleveland? Mike McDaniel is part of that collateral damage, even if Harbaugh doesn't go to Miami. So we already kind of have a small win there if you think McDaniel could be a good successor to Kevin Stefanski. I think Matt LaFleur is an absolute yes. The second he were to get fired by Green Bay, if they wanted to go for Harbaugh, sure. you do everything that I wanted for Harbaugh, you give him an extra $5 million because Matt is younger and he's gone from Aaron Rodgers, where he brought Aaron Rodgers back to the NFC title game and then developed Jordan Love. He's done everything I want as an offensive head coach.
Right. Yeah, he's great.
So,
oddly enough, too, the oldest in the NFC playoff field.
Which is crazy. Isn't he only like 45 or 46?
46. Yeah. Yeah.
McDermott probably is next, but I like McDermott. But to me, again, he's another kind of one of those tough asses, I don't want to say he's a CEO coach because he was a great defensive coordinator, but he's next. Sirianni's the wild card.
I don't know if I want Sirianni.
I know because everyone's going to be.
I don't think I want him.
He's got a Super Bowl, though.
I know. But I
Dodos don't win Super Bowls.
I think he's an idiot. I don't know.
I don't think he's an idiot. I think he might be a mad genius. He might be some iteration of Gruden.
Okay, but his Super Bowl, and now we got to look at it in hindsight, too, because everyone credited his Super Bowl to it was Shane Steichen, Jonathan Gannon as his offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. And then, last year, obviously not. The very first iteration of that was where he got all the credit of that with Jalen Hurts. The first Super Bowl they went to and lost. This most recent one was Vic Fangio with the defense. And like he just got no credit for the defense or the offense anywhere.
I think that's because people don't respect him because of his press conference. People just decided he's a dumb.
Well, and it's Big Dom that is always hanging around him as well.
Bring Big Dom here too.
Well, Big Dom is definitely coming.
I can use him to help protect me from Big Rob. Rob Long would kick my ass.
I don't know that Rob Long is that big anymore.
Matt Nagy goes to Baltimore. Have you seen photos? Big Dom meet Rob Long. All of a sudden, I'm living.
Have you seen photos of Rob Long recently?
Is he like medium Rob now?
Got skinny.
Look at that. Good for him.
He got skinny. Yeah. I don't know what he's on.
I did that once too.
Yeah, he's not very big at this point. Yeah. But anyway,
then I put it all back on just for you.
But I don't think I want Sirianni. I don't. I know that sounds crazy.
I think I want him more than McDermott.
Well, yeah, I'm not really sold on much on McDermott either, though.
That'd be a good hire.
I think it'd be a good hire.
Buffalo, we got to give some love there. Yes, he did. Well, I don't know why my voice
got that high. They were winning. He had the defense. He had the defense very good.
No, I mean, remember they won.
Howard Dean.
They were winning they went to the playoffs with Tyrod, and then he's part of the development of Josh Allen.
I'm not. Well, everyone credits Daboll more than they credit McDermott for the development of Josh Allen. Like that's
because he's an offensive coordinator. And by the way, they're right.
Let's be honest about it.
But the development of a quarterback doesn't happen unless a head coach
is Daboll coming here too? Because he might. That might be your plan.
Allow it.
McDermott and Daboll back in the saddle together.
Can we keep Jim Schwartz too?
Why not?
Come on now.
I don't see why we couldn't.
I'm not ever asking a question of any one of those three gentlemen. They would scream at me so quickly.
I don't hate that setup, but it's got to be a really good. This is like Sirianni. It's got to be a really good offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator setup. Now, did you hear the other rumblings that people are talking about within the Bills if McDermott goes?
No.
Belichick.
That would just be.
Think about it for a second.
No, I thought about it for a second.
I hate it. He can do well with quarterbacks. We know that.
He would give him a Hall of Fame.
He could turn over, and Josh Allen, Hall of Fame quarterback. So like he could turn over the defense in a second because that's when he actually knows what to do. His drafting was never a problem with the defensive side of the ball. He drafted all sorts of players in the defensive side of the ball. He stunk offensively when it came to that stuff. And so like there's a world out there that I could see the Bills falling for that trap. I 100% could see that.
If the Bills want to make sure Josh Allen will never win a Super Bowl, that's the play here. Kevin Stefanski is a much better hire in that, hypothetically, than Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick, guys.
I think it's the one spot. Away, the one spot that he could go to, right, actually be like, it kind of makes sense.
I think give me the Cleveland stats, the post-Brady stats, and the UNC stats. He's basically, I was going to say Hugh Jackson, that's not fair.
But you're doing post Brady, which is very fair. He stinks post Brady.
But you don't have to worry about that.
I think Belichick's good at everything about the NFL except for the quarterback spot. But guess what? The Bills have the quarterback spot taken care of.
Well, okay, no. If you got
that's the discussion.
Tom Brady,
Josh Allen.
I don't think Josh is Tom.
Well, I mean, it's Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. They're in their own little world, but Josh Allen is not. He's not like Timu Josh Allen here. Like, let's put some respect on his name.
He
just won MVP last year. Like, you're at the apex of Josh Allen at this point. Like, if there was ever a time,
I don't like it,
where he could reintroduce Bill back to the NFL, I think this could be the time. This would be the setup. The only way I think that it would work, this would be it.
What job should John Harbaugh be waiting for? What did I rank him again? I think they say Buffalo, then Green Bay. I don't know. But the point is, they're all really good jobs. Everybody would enjoy any one of those jobs. I would hope, though, Green Bay opens up because maybe you can make a run at LaFleur. The QB Deadpool with many moves to make. Coming up in 5 minutes on 92. Coming up in 5 minutes on.
Hey, kids, you can listen to The Fan anytime, anywhere on the free Odyssey app or by telling your smart speaker to play 92.3 The Fan. And now you can find 92.3 The Fan on YouTube, including The Ken Carman Show with Anthony Lima from 10 to 6 a.m. And look where you are right now. That's right, Baskin and Phelps from 10 to 2 and Afternoon Drive with Nick Wilson and Jonathan Peterlin from 2 to 7 live each and every weekday. On 92.3 The Fan's YouTube channel, subscribe to our channel for free and watch all the best content from your favorite shows on The Fan live and on demand. Just looking in, give a little shout out to some of the folks. Football on the Boulevard 4, hanging out with us a little bit today. I see that Dog216. Oh, Dog216, not a very nice thing. You talk to your mom that way? That's not nice. I'll give you one more. Super fan. Yep, something there. Okay, good. Thank you.
Quit looking at that.
I want to say hi to our new friends.
New friends.
New friends. A lot of people don't like Kevin on YouTube, in case you're wondering that.
No kidding.
It's a shocker. It is. And if you even dare to say anything like, you know, I'd like to know where Kevin got his haircut, because he just always had a really good haircut. Oh, my God. Those guys are such Kevin apologists. Can't believe that. Oh, no wonder they don't. Oh, they hate everyone. I can't believe they said that. Calm down.
Folks around the NFL seem to like Kevin. He'll be employed shortly, and we wish him luck.
Yeah, go look on all the betting sites. They like him, too, so we're not completely crazy.
Well,
I just think it didn't work here, and that's the end of it.
It didn't work the last 2 years, and it's not all his fault, but he took the hit.
Yeah.
So there you go.
He was the scapegoat.
And well, he was. He might have deserved it, but you know, if he deserved it, Andrew Berry deserved it.
Probably true, and I'm sure people are looking at ownership.
As Andrew said, I own that record. Well, you might own it, but you didn't have to pay for it.
Good point. Kevin did. You rented.
Kevin did.
But he could have to pay for it in the very near future if they don't make a good hire.
We're going to get some phone calls here in a second, and Daryl's going to join us coming up at noon. Browns, Ravens, Dolphins, Raiders, Titans, Cardinals, Giants, Falcons. 8 teams in the NFL looking for head coaches right now. If you're John Harbaugh, Andy, what's at the top of your list? Obviously not Baltimore, so that leaves him 7 job openings.
All right. So
I'll tell you what's not at the top of the list. The Browns.
Yeah, I don't.
Unless.
All right, now give me a reason. I want someone to tell me why John Harbaugh would want to come coach here with the Browns.
Two reasons.
I only have the one.
He He's always loved the Browns. He grew up being a Browns fan. His mom and dad honeymooned at a Browns game. His mom's from Cleveland. And it was always his dream.
Okay, that's it. That's
to be the head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
And he wants to be the man to fix the problems.
That's the only way he ends up as head coach of the Browns.
And a lot of money.
Well, he's going to get that anywhere.
You can maybe get a little more. Do you think that the Haslams have to overpay for a coach if they're in a battle? They don't want to get into a battle.
Well, they've done it before for a quarterback.
And the current coach, they owe $7
million. No, they won't have to overpay for a coach, but they're going to have to pay market price. So, in other words, if they want to hire John Harbaugh here, they're going to make him the highest paid or close to the highest paid coach in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But most of these teams would have to do that.
Yeah.
Most of these teams would have to. For him, not for Kevin, not for McCarthy. But if you want to hire Harbaugh, you're going to have to make him a top five.
What'd they say, that seven teams called him right away and there were only six openings?
Yeah, and reportedly two of the teams that called had coaches. One of them might not now, Mike McDaniel. I would think if you're Harbaugh, and again, when you weren't here yesterday, we talked a lot about what does a guy want to do. That's why he would end up as coach of the Browns, because he wants to be the guy to fix it. He always wanted to be the, you know, that whole thing. It's not the football operation. It's not the ownership. You can get ownership anywhere. And very different ownership here than in Baltimore with Bisciotti. And not better or worse, whatever you want to do, Bisciotti's more hands-off. You know, do you want to deal with a more hands-on owner? Well, there are plenty of those around the league, too. So, you know, you can think about that. I would think if I'm Harbaugh, at the top of the list would be the New York Giants, the Atlanta Falcons, and now the Miami Dolphins. Giants ownership, real stable, hands-off, talent on that team, and it's New York. If you don't mind New York and you want to live in New York and deal with all that, I think that's the job. Arthur Blank can give him anything he wants in Atlanta.
I think he'd have no problems in New York.
No, I don't think he would either.
He doesn't care.
But does he? Again, at some point, maybe with some guys, lifestyle comes into it. Do you want to live in the New York metropolitan area? Probably not an issue for most guys. But, you know, if he
what do you want to do with your family? That's the other question.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. I would assume his kids are a little older. But do you want to move to New York or do you want to move to Fort Lauderdale? You know, Miami is not everybody's cup of tea, but some people would love it. You know, if you're looking for a destination and an opportunity, well, really rich dude in Stephen Ross, who's 85, has Michigan ties, is going to leave his hands out of the deal. You don't have a general manager. You could probably pick your own, and you can go down there, spend your days on the water when you're not coaching football, and get anything you want. So I think
it's a hard competition for here.
Well, it is.
And no state income tax, too, right?
But, again, Dolphins weren't the team he grew up with. His mom's not from Miami. She went to Shaw High School. Does that mean anything?
I don't know.
That, to me, is the way he gets it. But I would think if I'm Harbaugh, it's Miami, it's Atlanta, and the New York Giants. Not in that order.
Well, I mean, his brother was joking about him wanting to go to, he wants him to go to an NFC
team.
Yeah.
He'd love him with the Giants, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Nate is in West Salem. Hello, Nate.
Hey, Nate.
Good morning, guys. Hey, I think there's a lot of other teams that Harbaugh is going to be interested in, but in addition to the family ties, and in addition to, you know, the amount of money Jimmy can put out, the last time he was successful, really successful in Baltimore, was when he had a top-notch defense. And out of all of our flaws here in Cleveland, we do have a top-notch defense. And with the amount of draft picks we have, with the we have a lot of humps to get over on the offensive side. But it is really just the offensive side and the special teams that need to be reworked. If he did, while we do not have the quarterback, having that top-notch defense would be put him at ease, as opposed to having the whole team needing to be rebuilt. So I would love it for Harbaugh. I want a coach that already has some head coach experience, and he would just be phenomenal for what we need. So that's all I got.
All right, Nate. I don't think anybody said, I don't want him. he wouldn't be a good fit. It wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't be the right guy. He's the perfect guy. Question is, does he want to do it? You know, and would he want to come here? And I would think he would want other things first. You never know. Kurt is in Columbus. Hello, Kurt.
Hey, Kurt.
Hey, Phelps, Baskin. Hope you guys are doing well.
Thanks.
Like to weigh in on the Schwartz Harbaugh, sure. And then I have an out of the box idea that Baskin's going to love.
Oh, keep going. We'll start with that. Let's have all fun right. First.
Does it involve pizza?
No, come on, because you'll cut me off. It's so out
I'm
of the box.
I'm not going to cut you off. Jeff might all cut right. You out of the box.
Schwartz. I'm not going with Schwartz as head coach.
Okay,
29-52 with Detroit.
Granted, long time
Detroit,
ago.
But that's still, I know, but hey, long, it's still a record. But also, check your YouTube. When he ran across the field to get in Jim Harbaugh's face, that showed no emotional intelligence. And if supposedly we're looking for EQ and IQ, I don't want that as my head coach. Check it out on YouTube if you don't remember it. John Harbaugh, I'm going to say no. And I'm thinking about, by the way, on Schwartz, our defense collapsed in some key moments. I'm not buying the hype about how great our defense is. I think it's good. But when it came time to step up in many ways, we fell apart. Minnesota in London, Houston in the playoff game, et cetera.
I agree with you. I think they have a good defense, not a great defense.
Thank you, Phelps. I'll agree with you there. John Harbaugh, 8 years with Lamar. Granted, some of it's on Lamar. No Super Bowl. Derrick Henry, no Super Bowl. He was lucky to win that Super Bowl with Flacco throwing that bomb in Denver, if you remember. So I'm not totally going to give up the whole house on John Harbaugh. I kind of like McCarthy. And Dallas, Green Bay, two quarterbacks, Prescott, Rodgers, dealt with Jerry Jones. He's in that Packer community, grew up in Western Pennsylvania. There's a lot to like about McCarthy. And here's my out of the box for you, Baskin.
Yeah.
We get Taylor Swift to buy the team from Haslam, and we turn over the franchise to the Heights High Kelce brothers.
Boom! Good enough. All right. Are you
friend
kidding?
Of the show.
We would have given you the rest of the hour if you would have dropped that first.
Nice job, Kurt.
I'm watching that fight.
He's
again.
He's beaming and drooling. Chris is in Maryland.
Do you remember the Schwartz Harbaugh fight?
Chris, what's Maryland doing? What are the Ravens doing getting rid of Harbaugh?
I'll be honest with you guys. I live here. I've been here 20-plus years, but I'm a Northeast Ohio native, so I really could care less about the Ravens.
There you go. That's our boy.
I'm friend of the show to
That's
everybody.
That's our boy
today.
Right there.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, my kids, I refuse to let my kids participate in Purple Fridays. There's just this.
Fabulous.
Well done. Well done. Good parenting.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. No, but my question is, let's say the Bills blow it over the weekend. They lose. Sean McDermott gets fired.
Yeah,
is he a top candidate for the Browns?
It's got to be on the interview list, doesn't he?
Yeah, I would think they'd want to talk to him.
Yeah, I mean, I would think so, too. And I just wonder, you know, Harbaugh's already done. Let's say McDermott gets canned. Let's say Mike Tomlin gets canned. Do you see, like, a revolving door? Like, yeah. McDermott goes to Baltimore, Tomlin goes to Buffalo, Harbaugh ends up in Pittsburgh?
I do, actually, Chris. I think some of these guys who have been let go are going to find themselves employed. I think Kevin's going to get a head coaching job. Harbaugh's going to get a head coaching job. I don't know about Mike McDaniel, but he'll get a coordinator job if nothing else.
Well, I don't think there's any question he's qualified to do that beyond. I mean,
Raheem Morris? Jonathan Gannon? Ignatius grad?
I think Gannon's interesting for here.
These guys are going to get recycled. And I would bet that several, more than three, of the guys who just got fired end up as head coaches in other spots. Three or four. Anyway, Daryl Ryder is our Browns beat reporter. Daryl's going to join us next right here on Baskin and Phelps. The Browns are once again looking for a head football coach. The Haslams have experience at this. Is experience confidence building? We're going to give you some reasons to think yes and some reasons to think no. Coming up in just a couple of seconds here on Baskin and Phelps. I'm Jeff Phelps. Dan Manigan's hit for Andy. It's contest time. Win a 4-pack of tickets to the Fan Night and Cleveland State basketball. It's coming up on Thursday, January 15th. That's next week, 7 o'clock, Wolstein Center. It's hosted by the Morning Guys, Ken Carm and Anthony Lima. How about that?
There you go.
You can get tickets at csuvikings.com/tickets. Here's how you get them. Enter the word FAST, F-A-S-T, FAST, by the end of this hour at 923thefan.com to get registered to win. I'm Phelps. He's Menigan. I was thinking about the job search, the head coach search going on again here for the Browns. And I thought, boy, they've been through this too many times. And I started to think, well, who got hired by other teams in the cycle when the Browns hired their guy?
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, this is one of those reflective type of things that you and Andy cringe about.
Oh.
You might find this interesting. And it was a little bit of a challenge. You know, AI helps now. But a little bit of a challenge to go back and dig up some of these names.
You gotta be careful with that thing. It gets stuff wrong, yeah, too. You gotta be a little careful.
Well, I know. You do. But I think this is all pretty accurate about who they hired and who they didn't. And maybe who they interviewed in the process. Getting all the interviews was a little tougher, and I didn't get them all. But the first head coach they hired was in 2013. And they hired a guy that I think just got a raw deal here. Unfortunately, I think too many of these guys got a raw deal. And the first guy to get a raw deal was Rob Chudzinski. Chud got 1 year, and he was hired to replace Pat Shurmur, who the Haslams inherited.
It felt like they were more infatuated with having Norv Turner and Ray Horton here than they were with having Rob Chudzinski here.
The other guys that got hired, and I'd agree with that.
Yeah, that's what it felt like in the moment. It was like, oh, you wanted him because of the assistance he could bring in, which is not good.
Yeah.
That's not good at all. That's like being friends with someone because they have a Sega Genesis and you have a Super Nintendo.
Nice. The other coaches that were hired, and I love the hiring cycle talk.
Yes.
Because that's actually, you know, there's seven teams looking right now. It's almost a quarter of the league. The other guys that were hired, Bruce Arians, Chip Kelly,
ooh,
Doug Marrone, the former Syracuse coach,
oof,
who there was some interest here, Gus Bradley.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a name I haven't heard in a minute.
Mark Trestman.
That's right.
Former Browns quarterback coach under Bernie.
Yes, yes. Ended up at the Bears.
And a gentleman named Andy Reid, who left Philly and went to Kansas City. I don't think the Browns had a chance there.
That worked out.
So, you know, Chud 1 year and out. But, you know, Arians would have been nice. Reid would have been nice. Might have been able to get Arians.
BA would have been awesome.
Bruce seemed to like it here. So
He would have been outstanding. I will not hide my affection of Bruce Arians.
Yep, me neither.
If he wanted to come back and coach, I would do it in a minute.
I'd hire him now.
Yeah, he's probably one of the only ones who's on TV right now that I'd be like, yep, give me BA.
In 2014, then, they got rid of Chud, and they hired Mike Pettine. Other coaches that were hired by other teams during that stretch, Dan Quinn.
Wasn't great the first round. Round two ended up better.
Bill O'Brien.
That one's falling apart.
Jay Gruden. That didn't work.
No, that one's falling apart.
Mike Zimmer. And Mike, of course, working with Kevin Stefanski.
Did well for a good period of time and then ran its course. Yeah.
Jim Caldwell.
That one fell apart.
Lovie Smith.
That one.
Ken Wisenhunt.
Was that? Okay, what year was that? Was that Lovie to the Texans or was that Lovie?
2014. That was Lovie to the Bears.
That would have been to the Bears.
Yeah.
He was good for the Bears.
He was good for the Bears.
Yeah, he did a nice job with the Bears.
So they ended up with Pettine, and Mike lasted a couple of years. But Dan Quinn, Bill O'Brien, Jay Gruden, Mike Zimmer, Jim Caldwell, Lovie Smith, Ken Wisenhunt. So far, Ken
Wisenhunt flopped.
I don't see any glaring, huge, like, oh my God, you missed them, other than maybe Arians and Andy Reid, and I don't think he had a chance at Andy. In 2016, Hugh Jackson was hired as head coach.
He was here.
If you remember, Hugh was the hot coordinator out of Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And former head coach of the Raiders. So he had some head coaching experience.
I wanted him. I thought he was the best hire out there.
I'll say, in digging stuff up, I found that these guys were hired. I'm not going to put 100% on it. Sean McDermott.
Turned out to be a good hire.
Yeah. Matt Patricia.
Less good.
Adam Gase.
Even less good.
And Doug Marrone.
I didn't realize Doug Marrone got that many gigs.
Yeah,
good for him.
Well, he was interviewed by the Browns.
Oh, okay.
Those are
okay,
guys
okay.
they interviewed.
Okay, okay.
These are the other guys who got hired in 2016.
Sorry
Adam for Gase, the Ben McAdoo,
ooh,
Dirk Cutter,
ooh,
Doug Peterson, worked for a while,
got for a little bit,
Chip Kelly,
ooh,
back again, and Mike Mularkey.
It's not a good hire in that regard, but
did you miss anybody there? Maybe Doug Peterson.
Yeah,
Doug's had two runs. He's got a Super Bowl. Run that Philly special, baby.
He's got a. There's a shelf life to Doug Peterson.
Yeah, but guess what? It worked for a while.
Yeah, it did. I guess, but right now I wouldn't want him. I can tell you that much.
It worked for a while. In 2018, then during the season, Greg Williams replaced Hugh. So they're looking for a coach at the end of the season. They interviewed Greg Williams, Kevin Stefanski, Josh McDaniels, apparently, from what I found, Bruce Arians.
There's Adam always Gase, a rumbling that Bruce Arians wanted this job.
And Dan Campbell.
They interviewed Dan Campbell?
That was the word.
And I'll be darned. Okay.
The word was that they interviewed him, and he talked about being a big physical team that's going to run the ball, and they didn't find that as appealing. And so they promoted Freddie Kitchens.
That's interesting.
Freddie got the gig, but they apparently interviewed Greg Williams, Kevin Stefanski, Josh McDaniels, Bruce Arians, Adam Gase, and Dan Campbell. Other guys who got hired during that cycle by other teams. And the Browns took Freddie Kitchens, Cliff Kingsbury, Zach Taylor in Cincinnati.
I'm still not sold on him.
Vic Fangio. Matt LaFleur.
I think the guy could coach.
Brian Flores, Adam Gase,
coach.
And yeah. Bruce Arians
NBA.
Went to Tampa. And then when they hired Kevin in 2020, according to the vast research of our crack staff,
yes,
they interviewed Mike McCarthy, first guy they interviewed. He ended up in Dallas a couple of days later, though. So if they wanted McCarthy, maybe they didn't act quickly enough, or maybe they just didn't want him. Apparently, I don't know this to be sure, Josh McDaniels again. Eric Bieniemy.
I know. I remember that one.
Keep this in mind, maybe during this coaching search, Robert Saleh and Byron Leftwich, who was at the time a very highly thought of offensive coordinator.
Yes.
The other guys who got hired during this stretch, Ron Rivera, Mike McCarthy, Joe Judge, Matt Rhule. So did you miss anybody there?
No.
Hold on. I could say you could have missed on Mike McCarthy because he went 12-5 three straight years in Dallas. 12-5 was better than anything Kevin did here. Kevin won 11 twice.
Does it come with Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn?
Did Rob Jedzinski come with Norv Turner?
Yeah.
And you saw there you go.
Well, you saw how that ended up.
So
the Mike McCarthy thing's bad.
I just threw a lot of names at you. The bottom line is, do you trust them to get it right? I can look at this bit of work here and tell you I don't think they screwed up too often in passing up guys who got hired by other teams. But I can also tell you that I think they only nailed one guy, and that's Kevin.
Yeah. I can't argue with you on any of it. I cannot argue with you whatsoever. Bruce Arians would have been phenomenal. I would have hired him in a minute.
He would have been in either hire.
Yes. Yes.
Either when they hired Chud or when they hired Freddie. He would have been phenomenal.
Yes.
Dan Campbell would have just been, the statue would already be up for Dan Campbell.
I wondered if he would work here.
Oh, are you kidding? With fan base?
Well, with the fan base, yes.
He would be phenomenal.
Oh, God, yes. I wonder if
he would fit with the Haslams?
With the front office and everything else in between, with all the stuff that you've read or that I've read when it comes to situation.
Lions are a pretty forward-thinking organization these days.
Now, for a long time, they were not.
Exactly. But now, I said these days.
Yes, you did. But he had Brad Holmes, who was all in, and he had ownership, who was all in as well. I wonder if the Haslams and whomever would have taken over as GM at that time would have been all in that way. Like, it shocks me,
Because I feel like he and John Dorsey would have been two peas in a pod, you know? I feel like he and John Dorsey would have really gotten together, like gotten along with each other and saw things relatively similar.
Dan Campbell and John Dorsey?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
They'd each have a spare room in the other guy's house so that they could hang out at night.
Right. You'd think that was the case, but they passed on him.
I know.
And Dorsey was the GM at the time.
Q's in Cleveland. Q, you just heard a bunch of names. You have any faith in the ownership in the front office to get it right?
Absolutely not, Jeff. I'm sorry. I do not have any faith in the front office. You know, I think that Haslam has his hands all over this. I think, you know, like I'm give you my selection, who I would pick.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you, Jeff, like who I think actually, what I think actually is going to happen. Okay.
I love it. Who do you have?
You know, I would, you know, the guy's still pretty young. You know, he's 56 years old. I would actually bring in Eric Bieniemy for an interview. Honestly, I would. He's a proven guy. He's an offensive mind. Two Super Bowls up under his belt with Mahomes. I think that, you know, I think he'll bring a different dynamic to the table as far as the offense is concerned, because him and Andy Reid, you know, they've been together for a long time. They run different variations off of different plays. They have, you know, he's had a ton of success with the Chiefs. That's who my pick would be. I would dust off Eric Bieniemy. I think he's Chicago's running back coach right
Correct.
Now.
Well, and you, they interviewed him in 2020. So there's a little familiarity there.
Yeah. And see, that's why I say I would definitely go for Eric Bieniemy. He's a great offensive mind, and that's what we need. We need someone. We need an offensive-minded guy who's actually a football guy, not an analytic guy, actually a football guy that is actually proven. Now, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, guys.
All right. Okay. But Bieniemy got some interviews, and
I think he got a raw deal, Jeff.
Well, he very well might have. I think the thought on him was that I think people found him a little crotchety mm-hmm. and might not be able to identify with players, which doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I don't believe that, Jeff. Here's the thing. This is what I believe is going to happen, though, Jeff. I think because you got to think about it. You know, there are not too many GMs around the league that are younger than the head coach. Like I said, Andrew Berry's 37 years old. Kevin Stefanski's 46, 47. He's 10 years younger than the head coach. I think that as far as Andrew Berry, I give him this draft, but a lot of his draft picks haven't panned out. I think that Andrew Berry is good at trades, but I think during the draft, I think, man, we've needed offensive help for the longest, and we haven't had any luck picking offensive players, receivers especially. I just think that what's going to happen is, I think, you know, and this is my honest opinion, I think they're going to bump up Jim Schwartz. I think they're going to bump up Jim Schwartz and keep Reese.
Could you live with that, Q?
Huh?
Could you live with that?
You know, I can live with Schwartz stepping up, because Schwartz is a true leader of men. He's a true leader of men, and that's what Kevin Stefanski was lacking.
All right, Q. Thank you. Maybe. It's funny because if you hear players who were here and they talk about Kevin, they'll say he was a really good leader.
Yeah.
It's, and again, who knows? The guy's not a coach here anymore, and somebody's going to hire him.
It'll all come out in the gargantuan Zach Wickersham piece.
I would think
Seth Wickersham piece, true. I should say.
Do you have faith in the front office, in the ownership, to get this right, folks? There are now a couple of names out there that are really intriguing. Something Florio said I thought was really kind of fascinating, and it had to do with veteran coaches in this cycle. We'll hear that. We're going to talk about that next on Baskin and Phelps.
Bobby Carpenter coming up in 20 minutes. We've also got the not list. You guys know earlier this week we started the not a chance in hell list of players for the Browns head coaching job. As of right now, Browns have not done that. We have not got somebody from the not list on the Browns coaching list. In fairness, we've only got like five names so far.
Yeah, we couldn't agree on a few of them. We couldn't agree on Kingsbury.
Future Ravens head coach Cliff Kingsbury?
Yeah. You want that. I don't blame you for wanting that.
So bad.
I want that. Even though he didn't make my not list, I still want. Like, I mean, yeah. I there's certainly.
Who would you rather, Nagy or Kingsbury, as like the worst option for the Ravens head coach?
I like that you've just circled in that anything but Nagy is going to be something that you want in life. And then yesterday off the air, I made this big pitch to Jeff Phelps. I'm like, you know what? He did have Mitch Trubisky in a playoff game. That is an accomplishment in life, is it not, at this point? Matt Nagy's not good at this.
No, he's not good at this.
So I'd rather have Matt Nagy, because I think I know what you're getting with Matt Nagy, whereas Cliff Kingsbury, I think he's a little bit of a wild card for me. But he's another one of those guys. Like I mentioned, why I didn't think Stefanski would work there, because I think Lamar Jackson would just run all over him as far as everything locker room-wise and everything else. Kingsbury failed because the same thing happened with Jonathan Gannon, happened with Kingsbury. They didn't know what to do with Kyler Murray. Like Kingsbury was
Kingsbury had him healthy.
Well, and he was the architect of, let's put in the clause that you have to stay X amount of hours in the building. Like, that was his dreamed up idea on how to fix Kyler Murray. It didn't work, but that was his dreamed up. I just don't think he knows how to do anything with that.
So with the Mike McDaniel news earlier today, I did put together a hypothetical Mike McDaniel coaching staff. Mike McDaniel, good. Frank Smith, Jim Schwartz is DC, and then anyone but Bubba Ventrone as special teams coach, or Bebe, as I was about to say. And I asked people to grade this potential coaching staff for the Browns. I'm a little surprised here. 215 votes in.
Okay.
38% saying B. 30% saying C. 20% saying fail, including our guy Roberto Shenanigans.
Roberto gave you a fail grade?
Yeah, not just a fail grade, but he voted on it and then commented fail.
So he just doesn't want to do anything with McDaniels.
Says
idea.
He's not a leader of men.
So that's going to be the rap that he gets, right?
Yeah.
Can we agree on that? That's
yes,
going to be
100%.
Like the thing that everyone's going to go after, and the thing that people are going to try to get at is that. And so where I think it's going to be kind is that these things didn't start to materialize until your pen snapping broke me in two, by the way.
It did.
It completely broke me.
I didn't mean to, but I'm just so strong, guys.
That big pen never stood a chance.
I was just sitting here. I was fidgeting a little bit, listening actively, and then just hawked out on a pen.
What do you like about Frank Smith?
No. I like that he's McDaniel's OC.
You're taking the crew and going with it.
Well, actually, I like the fact that he's the run game coordinator to McDaniel's pass game coordinator, and that's one of the things they do incredibly well.
Yeah. All right. I didn't know if there was anything more than just the McDaniel connection, and that was it.
And
he's just going to take his guy.
And his name's Frank.
Well, I wonder if you lost people there, because remember, if we're playing,
I like to be Frank.
If we're playing, there we go. If we're playing coaching staff dream list or whatever you think is going to happen, remember how the internet plays this game. It's the most unrealistic offensive coordinator that should probably be a head coach gets the call. So, like, what people wanted to hear was that it's Mike McDaniel as the head coach.
Matt LaFleur is the OC.
Matt LaFleur is the OC.
Sean McDermott
is
the DC.
Robert Saleh is the DC. Yeah, one of them. You know,
Harbaugh is the special teams coach.
You know, like somebody like that, and that's just like some dream staff that gets to happen. But
that's true.
Neither here nor there. So I'm sorry, you got to be great.
That's fine. B's fine. B is passing. We sailed through high school and most of college with B's until the F's came. But it was B's
until that
for a minute there a real minute and a half maybe. When,
did you ever have a semester at Bowling Green where you just like you just didn't show up at all? Is that the idea?
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. Yeah,
that's not even your fault. It's your fault for not showing
totally
up.
Totally my fault.
But
yeah.
Like the idea of like it's not a true F. Then it's not like you tried got F's.
Yeah.
You just didn't go.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you just didn't do
I
the
just
work.
Completely
and didn't go.
Shirked all responsibility on the matter.
Now I don't know what you thought was going to happen.
Oh no, I knew. Yeah, yeah.
So you know, as you're going, you're
the
like
money
you're paying
stuff just
all this.
Stressed me out. That's exactly what happened.
You're paying all this money. You're there, but you're just like
taking out loans.
You're still paying it. In fact, you're paying it more than.
It's actually paid off, believe it or not. Yeah, we're actually good there.
Well, no, you paid off now, but you're still paying all this money, and then it's just like you're just not showing up.
It's the money stuff that just got in my head. It was just really? It was a lot of stress. It was a lot of stress. A lot of like last minute making sure that I can actually I'll be allowed in class because of the money situation because we didn't have a lot of money.
I've always thought about it. My brother went to KU and he made it out and everything was fine. But like there was a semester there that he just didn't do any of it.
Yeah.
Right. Like it just didn't do a thing.
Well, here's the thing.
And I was like, well, what was going through your mind on like a Tuesday as you just weren't doing class?
And here's the thing. I really had an interest in higher education. It was just boozing and chasing was a little bit more fun.
You know?
At least it sounds like we were doing things then.
I've told Vanessa, I think if Vanessa and I had found each other, first thing when we both got to college, she went to college 2 years earlier. I got a cougar, whatever. but I've always said that if I had found her, I think I would have graduated because I just needed that gravity.
Yeah.
I had no gravity. I had parents who were like, whatever you want to do. And what I wanted to do was booze a lot.
Was booze.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also theater.
Understandable.
Theater and, you know, I'd sneak into football practices because I really liked watching Greg Brandon's teams. I didn't sneak into it. I just walk in and watch it. And I'd like be on my way to class and it'd be like a practice and I'd be like, ooh, piece of candy.
Nobody ever said anything there?
No. No. So I didn't know him.
Like you mess around, you could end up getting you'd become the passing game coordinator in like three practices.
I realize how I failed is Matt Campbell was there at the time.
Yeah.
I could be part of the Matt Campbell love fest that goes on at the station.
There we go.
Because I had a conversation or two, and then it was like, I genuinely was like, well, I don't need to keep talking to people. And I just went back up and watched the thing. So, yeah.
Mm.
Simpler times. And booze. Cannot underrate.
A lot of booze. A
lot of booze.
A lot of loneliness. Ken asked Matt Campbell, he's like, do you ever remember anybody at BGSU just coming up to you and just having convo? He's like, yeah, this drunk dude.
But
drunk dude would just constantly
I didn't go there drunk.
I assumed you were half in the bag. No. You're not going to class. What else are we doing?
No, I didn't start drinking till Tuesday.
Okay? Oh, I figured it was a day drinking event. It was just an all day, every day thing.
No, I was a very responsible, irresponsible human being. Now,
there we are.
Are the Browns protecting themselves? Well, Mary Kay Cabot was on with the Morning Boys today and talked about whether John Harbaugh, rather, is going to be interviewed for the Browns.
I know the Browns really like John Harbaugh, but the thing that happens in a situation like this, if you get an idea that a candidate might have something hot going in another city, you don't want to be turned down by a lot of people. So if you think that, let's say, he's going to get the Giants job, and it seems pretty clear that that's going to happen, then you're not going to interview him. So as of right now, I don't know if they're going to, I'm sure they called. I'm sure they're one of the teams that called. But I don't know if they will actually go through with an interview because you work the back channels and you find out if a coach actually, you know, would consider your situation or whatever the case may be, or you would consider him. You walk through all that, you talk through all of that, and then you decide if you're going to actually throw him onto the list. And right now, I do not know if he's on the list.
So obviously, this is still pretty early in the process. Harbaugh just got fired. But let's say a week down the road, we get a report or multiple reports that the Browns wanted to interview Harbaugh, but they weren't sure he would take it. And so they kind of basically just, they didn't want to get themselves embarrassed by getting turned down by Harbaugh. Would you view that as a valid thing that happened, or do you think that might be an excuse?
Coward play. Yeah, no. Are you back in college, afraid to ask a girl out? What's going on here? You're embarrassed they're going to turn you down?
Looking right through my soul when saying that.
Embarrassed they're going to turn you down? What are we doing here? Like, if anything, you got to show up and you got to roll out the red carpet. You got to make sure that he knows. It's not just going to be any normal interview. We are going to try to wine and dine you, and we're going to leave that blank check at the end of the table. Like, this is the group that got turned down by Deshaun Watson and refused to take that as a no. They're not going to just... Oh, Harbaugh said no, we're done. No. I got more confidence in this group based off of the Deshaun Watson happenings that they're gonna be resolved.
Do the Browns think the media? Do the Browns think that the media sabotages these coaches? Because the only reason that I can think that they wouldn't want to do this is when Mike Pettine was struggling in 2015. A lot of people mentioned he was like the sixth candidate for the head coaching job. Or is this just maybe Andrew Berry's heard Jimmy Haslam talk one too many times about how Joe Banner couldn't close with Chip Kelly and Ken Whisenhunt, and that really was curtains for... Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, there is no shame in pushing really hard for something and then not succeeding at it, because in the end, you're still running your coaching search. I would not put it past the Browns to actually not be into Harbaugh, given the fact that he's 63 years old. I would just respect you more if you were just like, I'm not interested in John Harbaugh because of his age.
We might have like an age requirement for this hiring.
Yeah, I think they like young coaches. I think
we're taking Schwartz off the board then.
I think that's probably fair. Like, I think Jim is a long shot to actually get the job. So yeah, I could understand if they're like, our idea is a younger head coach, or at least younger than 63. And quite frankly, maybe we don't think he was a big reason why they succeeded. I think they would be bat bleep insane to think
that. I think it's a dumb way of thinking.
But I would rather hear, he wasn't one of our priorities. Like, we just didn't want, I'd rather hear that than we didn't want to get embarrassed.
Well, Andrew Berry is of the belief, I mean, all these guys, they all think to themselves, they like offensive guys and they like young. That's like I brought up with LaFleur earlier on the NFC side of the bracket. He's the oldest coach in the NFC playoffs at 46 years old. Like, it is skewing more young than it's skewing old. It has been for a very long time, but I'm not letting age stand in the way with Harbaugh. Ball at all. Like, if you get him at 63, you get him at 63 and he tells you, I'm only doing 7 years. At 70, I'm done and I'm out. No questions asked. Like, okay. All right. We'll live with that.
Senators.
We'll cross that bridge when you get to 70, if that's what you want to do then. I also think a Harbaugh doesn't know how to quit football in general anyway.
It's true. I think Jack would be the head coach if you gave him an interview.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got to be 90.
I think he's probably upset Harbaugh doesn't make him the passing game coordinator in either Harbaugh.
Who's got Jim it better or John. Than us?
Nobody.
I'll start saying that bleep too. On top of converting to Catholicism.
If John comes, we can make it a daily chant if you want.
Yep. Bobby Carpenter, 97.1 The Fan in Columbus.
I was going to ask everyone if you wanted to do the chant, and then I realized how that was going to go.
No.
That was going to be Fanta naming a movie all over again.
No.
That was going to be me doing
it.
Nobody. Oh, no. Nobody's here.
All right,
nobody.
No.
Nobody.
No.
Nobody's here.
Let's do this because this is for Harbaugh.
No.
I promise you, this is an avowed promise on the show.
Happening. Okay.
I'll lead it. Ready?
All right.
Who's got it better than us? Nobody.
I didn't buy into you. I didn't believe you for a second. All right, we're real this time.
No. No. Like the Browns,
oh, yeah.
I'm now afraid of putting myself out there.
I'm Charlie Brown with the football all the time on this show, and all of a sudden, that's going to be the one that breaks it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believed you with Fanta.
Fanta Brothers.
I believed you with Fanta. This is where this crossed.
Fanta Brothers. Watch it sometimes. Bobby Carpenter, 97.1 The Fan in Columbus in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Ready for some...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.